It's good to be together today, isn't it? And God is good, and He's worthy of all of our praise and everything we can give. We're going to look into God's Word in a minute. I'm really excited to share that with you. But I wanted to take a second and just say I appreciate our worship team, and especially Pastor Brad. Would you give them a little bit of appreciation? Pastor Brad talked about the credentials weekend that we had. He actually led worship for it. And then he's here leading worship this morning, and then tonight, we talked about in pre-service at 6 o'clock, Dr. Larry Garman's going to be here, missionary from Peru, and Brad's going to be leading worship with his team here, and so I'm just thankful that we get to come together, and I'm thankful for all the people I get to work with and for all the people here in the church. This is a great church to serve, and I just want to say I am blessed, not just to get to serve here, but to get to be here today. We get to come together and worship together every single week, and that is such a blessing. I don't know if you know how big of a blessing it is that we get to come together and we get to worship the Almighty God. And not just that, but He's here. And so I just want to say praise God. And I'm excited to look into His Word. Today we're continuing our Branching Out series. We are all called to branch out in our faith. We love to come together and worship. We love to sing together. We love to shake each other's hands and see each other. We love each other, right? But you know what? God doesn't call us just to come together and love each other. God calls us to branch out. And so that's what this series is all about, that we are called to share our faith with others. And so we have kind of a guiding theme through the series, and it's this. If you are willing and obedient, God will work to build His kingdom through you. If you are willing and obedient, God will work to build His kingdom through you. I'm going to even, you know, be more clear on this. Not only will God work through you, that's God's plan. God's plan is to work through His church and through His people. And so if you are willing and obedient, God will work to build His kingdom through you. So far we've talked about a couple things. We're kind of building through this series. And the first week we talked about prayer, that it starts with prayer. We are called to pray for others. We are called to pray that God will send out workers and that God will heal and God will save. So first and foremost, as a church, we are called to pray. Last week, we talked about inviting others to Jesus. One of the most simple ways we can make a difference is to just invite people. Invite them to church. Invite them to conversations. Invite them to read the Word. Invite them to Jesus. Today, we're going to step it up a notch. You ready? Everybody ready? Nod if you're ready. You don't even know what you're ready for. Here we go. We're going to step it up a notch. We're going to get a little radical today, okay? We're going to be in Mark chapter 2. And the story that we're talking about today is another story of somebody branching out in their faith to bring someone to Jesus. And this is radical, and it's incredible. And so I want you to stand with me. We stand because God, as much as you can see me and hear me, God is here and wants to speak to you today through His Word. You may not hear it audibly, but the Holy Spirit is here. And even as we read God's Word, we believe that He can speak to us. And so my prayer, we stand because we want to receive that. And my prayer is that He will speak to you today. We're starting in verse 1. It says, a few days later, when Jesus again entered Capernaum, the people heard that He had come home. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And He preached the word to them. Some men came, bringing to Him a paralyzed man carried by four of them. And since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it and then lowered the mat the man was lying on. When Jesus saw their faith, He said to the paralyzed man, "Son, your sins are forgiven." Now some teachers of the law were sitting there, and they were thinking to themselves, "Why does this fellow talk like that? He's blaspheming. Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But immediately Jesus knew in His spirit that this is what they were thinking in their hearts. And He said to them, "Why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this paralyzed man, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up, take your mat, and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So He said to the man, "I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home." And he got up, and he took his mat, and he walked out in full view of them all. And this amazed everyone, and they praised God, saying, "We have never seen anything like this." Praise the Lord. You can have a seat. God is good. God is healer. And he's amazing. What an incredible story. I love the last line there. This amazed everyone, and they said, "We've never seen anything like this." No, of course you haven't. Someone dug through a roof, lowered a man, and Jesus healed him. And it's this incredible story. Now, here's the thing. I think sometimes maybe we discount these stories, or maybe we read these stories in Scripture and we think, that's a great story. But I think there's three questions we've got to ask ourselves today about this story. If we're really going to hear from God, we've got to ask three questions. The first is this: is this story real? Every once in a while, I have the opportunity to do a daycare chapel with our daycare kids, and Pastor Emily uses a curriculum, and she'll give me the sheet, and on it, every time, it starts the same way. It says these lines. It says, "This is a real story from the Bible." Now, I don't typically follow a script, but I appreciate that, and I think that it's important for us to acknowledge today that these stories are not just fiction. They're not make-believe. This is a real story from the Bible. Last week, I talked about the Alpha class that we're going to be offering in the fall, and I ask you to invite others. There's cards in the back for the Alpha class if you want to take an invite. And this week, I had the opportunity to watch one of the videos from that class, and in it, they talked about the fact that God's Word, the Bible, is not disputed by scholars, that scholars almost unanimously agree that it is true, it is real, it is the truth. And so, is this story real? Yes. There are three different accounts, three different people that gave account of this same story in God's Word. It's a real story. These men did bring their friend to Jesus. They did lower him through the roof, and Jesus did heal this man. Jesus heals. That's real. So that brings us to the second question. Okay, it's real. But is it relevant for us today? Is it relevant? I mean, is this just something that Jesus used to do? I mean, we don't see Jesus walking around. We may see some bearded guys with long hair that look like Jesus. But you know, is this relevant to us today? Does this still happen? And my mind was drawn to 2 Timothy chapter 3, where it tells us that all Scripture is God-breathed, and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you know what this is saying? That God put together his word, that God inspired people to write, inspired people to put God's word together, true, real scripture, and that God didn't do it just to show off, that God did it to teach us and to lead us how to follow him. And so this story isn't just window dressing. It's not just something we're supposed to read and say, oh, cool. This story is relevant, and God put it there. God breathed it into existence so that we could be trained to follow him, so that we could be trained in righteousness. This story is relevant. The third question is this: what does it mean to us? And that's what we're going to spend the next 21 minutes and 19 seconds and however longer I go talking about. What does this story mean for us? We're going to dive in pretty deep. At this point, Jesus has become pretty well known. He's done, if you look at Mark chapter 1, it's kind of a pretty quick story, but it says that Jesus has healed many people. Jesus started doing miracles, and so people are gathering around. They know about Jesus. They've heard about Jesus, and they want to hear from him. And so Jesus comes into this place in Capernaum, and he starts teaching, but the crowds gather around, and it's such a crowd that it keeps people from getting there. And so in verse 3, some men came, bringing to him a paralyzed man, carried by the four of them. And since they could not get him to Jesus because of the crowd, they went up on the roof. They made an opening in the roof above Jesus by digging through it, and then they lowered the mat the man was lying on. So the crowd was so great, these men carried this guy. Imagine carrying someone to see this person. I mean, they heard about Jesus, and they carry this person to see Jesus, and they get there. And I mean, have you ever gotten there and it's just too late? The crowd's there and you can't get there. You ever gone to a Bengals game and tried to get out after the game or tried to get in before, and the crowd's just, it's just hard to get through? That's where they were. And so they bring this man, and Scripture doesn't tell us much about their relationship. It doesn't tell us if this was a best friend. It doesn't tell us if this was a brother. It doesn't tell us their relation to the man. But what we do know is this. These four men really cared about the guy, their friend, their brother, whatever. They cared. How do we know that? Because nobody's carrying someone else all that way if they don't really care about them. They cared about their friends so much that they were willing to come together and pick him up and carry him to Jesus. They had what we call compassion on this man. They had compassion on him. They loved him. Now listen, I don't want to discount what we've already said in the series, and I'm not going to because it's important, but it's one thing to pray for someone. It's another thing to take a step of faith and invite them to Jesus. But we're talking about the next level when we talk about picking someone up and physically carrying them to Jesus. It's great. We need to pray for people. We need to invite people, but sometimes maybe we need to do a little bit more. Maybe we need to do a lot more. And so these men had real compassion, and if you really love someone, then it leads you to action. Real compassion leads to action. We do this in the church all the time. Someone will say, hey, I'm going through this, and we say, oh, I'll pray for you. And that's great. Pray for each other. But sometimes that's a cheap way of not dealing with something. This guy was paralyzed, and his friends loved him so much that they were going to do anything they could to bring healing. Compassion, their love for this guy drove them to action, to physically pick him up and take him to Jesus. I have a friend just from ministry, and about, I think it was about 10 years ago, he called me on the phone, and he said, man, I'm just going through this major crisis. He lived about 10 hours away. And this is a friend that I love deeply. And I said, I'm getting in the car and I'll be there. Why? It's not enough to just say, hey, I'll pray for you, man. This is my guy. And I love him. And I have such compassion that when he told me he was going through that, guess what? I'm not just going to sit idly back. I'm going to go do anything I can to help. A few years later, my mom passed. Guess who showed up from 10 hours away? Compassion drives us to action. And listen, I want you to hear this. We are called to have compassion on a hurting and broken world. We're not called to come here and just sit comfortably and, hey, I'll pray for you. See you next week. We're called to a deep compassion. We're not called to walk by people and just pass by them. We're called to know people and to love people and to have compassion, and compassion leads to action. Amen. The people around us, the people we love, our family members, our coworkers, our friends, we're called to have compassion, and real compassion leads to action. We started this series by talking about open doors, and last week, so for the first week, I asked you to pray every day that God would open doors for you to share your faith, that God would open doors for you to lead people to Jesus. And I shared this with you last week. Within a few days, I got a random message from one of my former teens. I was a youth pastor just out of college, and I got a message from one of my former teens just out of the blue. All right, listen. When we talk about the living God, I want you to know that our God is still working. I started praying that prayer a long time ago, and I can't tell you how many times God has opened doors. I mean, days after praying, Lord, open doors, open doors. Boom, here's this random message. There was this really weird thing at the end of the message I want to share with you. I wish I could share the whole thing, but it is not appropriate for church. But at the end of it, he said... This is really funny. He said, unfortunately, we've had a lifelong connection, my dude. Now, I don't know what that means. Maybe he regrets that we have this connection. I don't know. But here's what I hear in that. That God has placed somebody in my life that I deeply care about. And that when I start praying, God, open doors for me to share you with others, that's no accident. That's our living and active God. And I don't have a connection with my friend for nothing, and he didn't reach out for nothing. This is God moving. And so that brings us to the second thing that we see from these men. Number one, they had compassion. But number two, they had a radical faith in Jesus. See, there's no way through. They carried this guy. They picked him up. They had heard the stories. This Jesus is the healer, and their friend was paralyzed. And listen, you know, maybe you have some situations in your life that you think are hopeless or helpless, and maybe there are some things that feel like they're kind of final. Typically in life, like paralysis, being paralyzed, is not something that's just healed. But these guys heard that Jesus heals, and so they had compassion on this guy, and they thought, if this guy can heal, then we're going to take our friend or our brother, whatever he was, we're going to carry him. We've got to get him to Jesus. And they had the faith to pick him up and take him. And then they got there. I mean, just listen, think about how crazy this story is. They got there, and it was too crowded. And they're carrying a guy. Can you picture this conversation? Well, we tried, guys. You know, that pessimistic friend. We tried. We gave it the old college try. Didn't work out. Maybe next time. Maybe he'll come back next week. And then we got that other guy who's like, I got an idea. This is a man's idea, isn't it? I got an idea. What if we take him up the roof, and what if we dig through it, and then we drop him down to the guy who's teaching all the... Genius! Crazy! Radical. Here's the deal. This was the only chance for their friend to have healing. And so many things could have gone wrong. Someone could have gotten hurt. I mean, we're talking about digging through a roof. Someone could have gotten hurt. Jesus could have been mad at them. I mean, he's teaching and crowds have gathered. I can't imagine if someone came through the roof what I would think right now. I'd probably just run and leave you guys to fend for yourselves. But Jesus could get mad at them. Or what if they did? What if they went to all this work and they dug through the roof and they dropped him down and then Jesus didn't heal him? What if they dug through the roof, Jesus didn't heal him, and then the owner of the house said, hey, you owe me for that. They would look like complete fools, but they knew the only chance their friend had was to get to Jesus. There was no other way. Jesus is the only hope, and they had a radical faith that they were willing to pick him up, and they were willing to listen to the crazy friend and take him on the roof and dig through and drop him to Jesus. So I shared with you last week about, you know, the friend, that the message that I was just talking about last week. I shared that, and then Sunday night I had the opportunity to go down to the hospital downtown, and so I thought this is a perfect time for me to call him and to reach out and to have a conversation. And so I called my friend, and man, it was heavy. Just got out of prison. Life's been a mess. Been in prison multiple times. And it wasn't just what's happened. It was that, like, the attitude there was so far from where it wasn't just, hey, I've learned my lesson. It's all going to be good. I'm going back to God. It was, hey, you know, I'm going to clean it up, but, you know, I had to fight this dude yesterday, and I'm going to fight this dude tomorrow, and I, you know, like, just the conversation was, I'll just be honest, it was kind of tough. And just moment of confession in my mind, I know his family's story. His family kind of ran the same path, and then later on came to know Jesus and turned their life around. And God's done some incredible things. And the temptation in my mind was to think, hey, maybe one day, you know, he's far from it. I mean, it's a pretty hopeless situation. Maybe one day, God will heal him. And I actually thought, forgive me for thinking this. I actually thought, you know, I hope he doesn't get so messed up that he gets beyond the place that God can heal him. That was kind of a lack of faith on my part, wasn't it? You ever had a situation like that? You ever had a conversation like that that you just felt like, hey, you know, I know God heals, but we're far from that. Verse 5, these men had radical faith. They carried them to Jesus. Verse 5, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralyzed man, son, your sins are forgiven. Now we'll get to the sins are forgiven part in just a minute. But let me tell you what happened. The good news of the gospel is this, that they cared enough about their friend and had a radical faith enough that they carried him to Jesus. They listened to the crazy friend. They dropped him through the roof, and Jesus saw their faith, and he healed the man. We serve a God that heals. Still today, let me remind you, this is a real story. It's relevant to us, and God wants to teach us today. We serve a God that heals. Oh, man. It was their radical faith that moved Jesus to bring healing. Let me say that again. It was their radical faith that moved Jesus to heal the man. So what is this story trying to teach us? If all scripture is God-breathed and useful to teach us, if this is real, if it's relevant, if God wants to speak to us today, I think what God wants to say is, quit having a 20-year from now faith. Quit having a passive faith. Pick your friends up and carry them to Jesus. You know what this scripture tells us? Is that our faith can bring healing through Jesus to others. Our faith can bring healing through Jesus to others. Our faith can't heal people, but our faith can bring people to Jesus, and he can heal others because of our faith. Praise God. This is a real story. It's relevant today, and he wants to teach us that he's a healer. Please hear me, church. We are called to branch out. God wants to bring healing to this world. The people you see that are hurting, the situations you see that are hopeless and helpless, God wants to bring healing. And our faith can open the door to Jesus healing. We preached 2 weeks ago that we need to pray. You need to pray. We preached last week that you need to invite. You need to take the step and invite all you can. Keep inviting people to Jesus. But man, sometimes God calls us to take a bigger step and to carry people to Jesus. If God opens a door, I'd better be willing to march through it. I'd better be willing to pick people up and to carry them up the stairs, to dig through the roof, to do anything I can to get them to Jesus. Keep praying, keep inviting. But man, there might be someone in your life that God's calling you to pick up and carry. God might be calling you to have a radical faith and a radical obedience, to get creative and to find ways to bring people to Jesus. Here's the question. Can God heal my friend? Yes. Absolutely is the answer. It's not just a yes. Absolutely. Does God want to heal my friend? Absolutely. Should I pray for my friend? Absolutely. Should I invite him? Absolutely, but maybe. And this is where God's been talking to me all week. Maybe it's time to pick him up and to bring him to Jesus and to dig through any obstacle in the way to get him to Jesus, because our God heals. So, all week I've been thinking, you don't know this yet, but I'm going to be going on a sabbatical this year. If you don't know what that is, in the church as ministers, after a certain amount of years, we take a little bit of extra time, not just to get away from people. I love you guys. I don't need to get away from you. But it's time to step away and to pray and be rejuvenated and just to get kind of a fresh wind and a fresh spirit. So I'm going to be taking a sabbatical this year, and we've made lots of plans. But all week, God's been saying, I opened a door. Maybe it's time for my plans to change. Maybe it's time for me to figure out a way to carry someone to Jesus. I would hate to think that God opened a door and healing didn't come because I wasn't willing to walk through it. I would hate to think that 20 years go by before healing comes because I didn't have the radical faith to pick someone up and take them to Jesus and dig through a roof or two. God is calling us to have compassion on the people around us, to have a faith that's radical, to pray for people, to invite people, but maybe today God is calling you to pick someone up and take them to Jesus. We need to pray for radical faith. And I don't usually like to step on toes. I usually apologize at this point and say, hey, I'm sorry if I step on you. I'm not going to apologize today. Today, some toes need to be stepped on. Because there are churches all over our world that are dying, while people right outside the doors are loved by God. And we're too passive. And today I think God's word says that we need to get up, we need to pray, we need to invite, but we need to go, and we need to pick people up, and we need to carry people to Jesus. It's time to pray for a radical faith. We need to wrap up this story. Oh, before I do, I want to share this quote. David Platt, one of my favorite pastors, I was listening to some sermons this week, and he said, you know, sometimes the church spends more time talking about the darkness around than we do the good news of the light of Jesus Christ. Oh, man, that hit me. We're not called to sit here and say, oh, man, this world's getting bad, and we worry and we fear what's happening. You know, we worry about our country and where it's going. And listen, there's legitimate reason to be worried. But there's so much more reason to be confident that our God saves and moves. We need to be more excited about the message of the light of Jesus Christ and our healing God than the brokenness and the darkness around us. And so to wrap the story up, they lower him down, and Jesus says this really weird thing. He says, hey, your sins are forgiven. They didn't bring him to get his sins forgiven, did they? They brought him to get physically healed. They lowered him down, they carried him, they dug, and they dropped him, and Jesus says, I forgive your sins. What a weird thing for Jesus to say, but Jesus is trying to teach us something here, and that's this, that our biggest need is not physical healing, our biggest need is salvation. The biggest need that the man had was to be saved from his sins. And see, sometimes we see a short view, we see our health, we see these things, but what we really need, what our world needs, is salvation in Jesus Christ. Verse 8, immediately Jesus knew in his spirit that this is what they were. They thought, why is this guy saying your sins are forgiven? Jesus knew what they were thinking in their hearts, and he said to them, why are you thinking these things? Which is easier, to say to this man, this paralyzed man, your sins are forgiven, or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. And so he said to the man, I tell you, get up, take your mat, and go home. And he got up, and he took his mat, and he walked out. It's incredible, isn't it? Our God saves. Listen, God can heal. I gotta get some tissues. I'm sorry, it's getting messy today. Excuse me, guys. That's two services in a row. Yeah, I know. I wouldn't have taken it. I'm sorry. Give me a second. Our God can heal spiritually and physically. And it says here, he says, your sins are forgiven. What's easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say, get up, take your mat, and walk? He says, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins. So then he brings the physical healing. Listen to me, guys. God wants to heal the people around us. God can heal the people around us. The most important thing they need is salvation. They need forgiveness of their sins. But our God heals. This is a real story. It's relevant to us today. And he wants to teach us. So I want you to see another real story. This is a real story of people in our church that God has called to radical faith and action. Let's watch the story together.
Love.
Amazed and empowerment. What we do in our ministry is, first of all, we try to lead them to Christ, and we take care of them. We try to keep them alive until they do get saved, do get into detox, do get into recovery, move on.
We just show them the love of Jesus, and we show them what Jesus has to offer for them, and then we show them how to follow him.
And a lot of them are real susceptible because that's all they got. Everything else has abandoned them, and the only thing that they have left to turn to usually is Jesus. I got into this ministry because we had a family member that became addicted, and even though I trust in the Lord, for some reason I didn't think there was any hope, because anyone I ever knew that got on heroin and fentanyl either ended up in prison or died. I ran into a guy that had a homeless ministry called Unbound. And I met guys that have walked out of hell through his ministry. And that's how we got started. Because literally, that's what we do, is when they get saved, you literally pull them out of hell from Satan having a hold of them. And it gave me hope.
Little did I know, I went with some friends to Texas to a prayer room thing for an event. And it was then that God spoke to me. Someone interceded to me and said that God's got something big. She kept saying, big. Every morning I'd get up after that, I'd say, Lord, I'm ready. What is it today? And I didn't realize. It took me a while to realize it was this ministry. He called, and I just said, yes, Lord, I'm ready. Send me. We use the gospel bracelet. These are bracelets that come from overseas, the Philippines, that women make to stay out of prostitution and trafficking. And this tells the story. And we tell them the story, and then we put it on their hands and we ask them, do you want to accept Jesus today? And I would say 95% of them say yes.
I couldn't count on my hands and toes and DW's hands and toes how many people have accepted Christ and come up out of addiction and have moved forward. You know, where else can you have your past erased, have a future, get saved, and be guaranteed a home in heaven?
And that is always our prayer, that they keep stepping closer to God. The sad side of it is we've lost a few, and Butch and I have been there in the end with them, and they were ready. We just ask the Lord before we go, just may they see your love flowing through us. So we are seeing fruit, and we just praise Jesus for what he's doing.